I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2 today. Luke chapter 2, let's turn there together. Luke chapter 2, today's message, we're looking at the birth, the literal birth of Christ here in verses 1 through 7 of Luke chapter 2. Lord willing, on Christmas Eve next Sunday, we're going to look at the shepherds in verses 8 through 20. And so we're going to start leaning into this passage, really a two weeks together in this chapter. But today's message I've entitled, All Wrapped Up. All Wrapped Up. Christmas gifts come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, don't they? And how many of you as kids used to grab the boxes and shake it to try to figure out what was in it? Come on now, fess up. What about the bags, right? Did you sneak a look in the bags? Going by, every mom in the room was like, no, I put like seven rows of duct tape on that thing, man, to try to keep it shut so nobody could get in it before it was time to open it. But Christmas gifts all come in different shapes and sizes and all kinds of different wrapping paper. I love wrapping paper. I love shiny wrapping paper that glistens and glows under the Christmas tree. And the whole point is, though, it's not about the wrapping on the outside. It's all about the gift that's on the inside. See, as a little boy, if you grab a gift and it's got the most awesome wrapping paper ever, and then you tear it open and it's a pack of underwear, every young boy in the room says, oh, really, Mom? Come on, man. You know, a pack of socks or something, or you know, clothes. When you're a kid, you want toys, right? As you get older, the clothes are kind of nice. But when you're a kid, man, you want a certain type of thing. It's not about the wrapping paper. It's not even necessarily about the size or shape of the box. It's all about the gift inside, isn't it? That's what matters. And it's a lot like life, right? The scripture tells us that man, we look at the outside, but where does God look? Looks at the heart, doesn't he? He looks on the inside. And there's a whole lot of people, maybe some of you even here this morning, that on the outside everything looks shiny and pretty, but on the inside the box is empty. Jesus doesn't live there. Your heart's never been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You don't have the gift inside. And so, do you know Jesus? Does he live in your heart? Because you can try your best to wrap your life with all the stuff of this world, but if you're empty on the inside, it just doesn't matter, does it? Which really begs another question. What are you all wrapped up in this Christmas season? Some people are all wrapped up in their job, or money, possessions, sports, or hobbies, or leisure, or pleasure, or intelligence, or education, or knowledge. I mean, you name it. Ever since the fall of man, what did Adam and Eve do after they sinned and realized they were naked? Well, the scripture says that they began to sew fig leaves for themselves and cover themselves. They're wrapping paper. It's a picture of how we try to cover our sin with all the stuff of this world too. So today, what are you all wrapped up in? Does Jesus live in your heart? Do you know Christ? The only way we're made right with God is for Jesus to be the Lord of our life, to be born again, heart changed. Well, Scripture tells us in Luke chapter 2, Jesus was wrapped in swaddling cloths, laid in a manger for us. There's so much imagery there that we're going to lean into today, and I want us to talk about today what Jesus was wrapped in. The gift given to us, Jesus came to die for our sins. What was he wrapped in? Well, let's look together. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse number 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7 together. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. And he went there to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and here it is, wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Lord Jesus, today, be lifted up and honored in this place. We are so grateful today that you took on flesh and dwelt among us so that we could have eternal life. Lord, today I pray, help us to be honest about what we're wrapped up in, Lord Jesus. And today I pray for the man, woman, boy, or girl who's empty on the inside. I pray today that he or she would be born again, heart changed by your Holy Spirit. Jesus, it is in your name we pray all these things. Amen. Every 14 years, Rome would take a census. And they would take a census of the people for military and tax purposes. But on this occasion, it was to fulfill biblical prophecy. Isn't that right? And it was to fulfill that time. As it says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says that Jesus came at exactly the right time in accordance to God's plan of redemption for the world. Although Caesar might have thought he was ruling, the truth is he was simply following the predetermined plan of God to usher in the birth of our Savior. Isn't that right today? He was just following the predetermined plan of God. It's been said that history is his story. It's been said before, one pastor once referred to history as this. He said, history is just God unrolling the scroll of prophecy. I like that statement. God had declared the Messiah, Jesus, would be born from the tribe of Judah, the house of David, in the city of Bethlehem, to a virgin. And it all happened, come on church, just as he said it would. Isn't that right? Just as God said it would happen, it did. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 1 says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he will. How many of you know today that even when the world is chaotic, Jesus is still in control? Come on now. God is on his throne today, isn't he? And the Bible says in the last days, it'll be like labor pains, difficulty growing and growing and growing until Jesus finally comes and rids this world of sin and of brokenness forever. By the way, how many of you know today God will move heaven and earth to accomplish his will? Come on now. Listen, God will move heaven and earth to accomplish his ultimate will for the lives of his children. So that means today, listen close, we need not worry about the circumstances of today or the situations that await us tomorrow, because nothing can thwart the will of God. Come on, somebody. Nothing can thwart his will over your life. Until our days are ended, until we hit that final day, appointed time for us to go be with the Lord, we're invincible. I mean, God will accomplish his will. So whatever you're walking through today, know that nothing will thwart the will of God over your life, the predetermined plan of God for you. Bethlehem. The word Bethlehem in Hebrew, Beit Lakam, means the house of bread. Isn't that fitting? Because what did Jesus say of himself during his earthly ministry? He said, I am, what? The bread of life. And so the very bread of life was born in the house of bread. And there's so much about this story. And by the way, when we say story, we're not saying it's made up. Come on, somebody. This is historical. Again, this is his story. This is God's story. All of this really happened just as we read it. And there's so much of this, though, in Western Christendom that we kind of have wrong about it. Like the nativity scene and the stable and the hay and the livestock and all these things, right? How many of you have a nativity scene at your house, right? Nativity scene, right? The wise men, have you got wise men there? Well, they didn't come till like 2 years later, right? So, go read Matthew chapter 2. And it wasn't necessarily a stable that Jesus was born in. And so, just to lean into this, and all this is significant because there's so much prophetic fulfillment in what happened on that night in the hills outside of Bethlehem, right around Bethlehem, okay? First of all, there were no inns or hotels as we think of them today. And so when Mary and Joseph came into Bethlehem, their only option was to either find an extended family member. Of course, Joseph was of the lineage of David, house of David, so it's very likely he had family, at least extended family, possibly in Bethlehem. So their only option was to find a family member who might take them in, or a stranger who would offer them a room for a price. Well, there was a big problem with that for devout Jews. Mary is in labor, okay? Highly pregnant, and for her to have labor and to birth Jesus into the world, into someone's home, it would be the shedding of blood there, right? And so blood would have made their home ceremonially unclean. So Mary and Joseph were not only, listen to this, a social liability because of the shame of her being pregnant before the time, appropriate time in everyone's mind. They also were a religious liability. Because if your home became ceremonially unclean, well, now you had to go give all these sacrifices and go through all these rituals and all this stuff in order to cleanse, ceremonially cleanse the home. And so Mary and Joseph most likely ended up in some kind of cave on the hills outside of Bethlehem. If you go and you read Hebrew history, on the hills outside of Bethlehem, there were Levitical shepherds. Bethlehem was very close to Jerusalem, less than 10 miles away. So these shepherds we read of, and we'll talk about next week, had been trained to work alongside of the priests at the temple in Jerusalem, and they raised the sheep and the lambs that were used for sacrifices at the temple. And so Mary and Joseph most likely ended up out on these hills in this area, in an area called the Migdal Eder. It's a tower in that area that was an old military tower that oversaw those hills where they tended hundreds of sheep that would give birth to those lambs that were used for sacrifice in the temple. Micah chapter 5 tells us it's in Bethlehem where Jesus would be born. But right before that, Micah chapter 4 verse 8, look at what it says here, a prophetic statement. And you, O tower of the flock, that's Migdal Eder in the Hebrew, speaking to this, O tower of the flock, hill of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come, the former dominion shall come, and kingship for the daughter of Jerusalem. And so in this area where they tended these sheep, they also had these little birthing caves. If you go back and study this historically, and they would bring the ewes who were ready to deliver these lambs to these birthing caves, and they would birth the lambs there. And then they would hello, this is so good. You listening to me today? If you're with me, say amen. Come on, church. So much stuff that had grown up in the church, I had totally missed context of this. So many of us do. These lambs, when they were born, they had posts in these birthing caves where they would take swaddling cloths and wrap these lambs to help strengthen their legs and their arms, but also so that they could be inspected and certified, because it was only unblemished lambs that could be used for sacrifice. Oh, don't you, church, now do you see the picture? So when these shepherds, when God says or sends the angels and they say, hey, I got good news of great joy for you, unto you today in the city of David, there is born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Here's the sign. There will be a baby wrapped in those same swaddling cloths that you wrapped those lambs in. That's why the shepherds, we'll see next week, immediately knew the general area where they were at. They were able to get to one of those cages. See, in the moment they walked in and they saw Jesus, whenever those lambs were born, they'd wrap them and lay them in that manger to prepare for the inspection, for certification. And there Jesus laid, wrapped in those swaddling cloths in that manger. It was an immediate picture that he is, oh, come on somebody, the Lamb of God slain for us. What a beautiful picture. John the Baptist, right? Extended cousin, you know, of Jesus through Elizabeth, Mary and Elizabeth. Whenever he declared, as soon as Jesus came on the scene to begin his earthly ministry, what did he say of Jesus? Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Most likely, John the Baptist, through family and through Elizabeth, would have known the story of Jesus' birth and spoken to that prophecy. And so today, the good news is there's a Savior in Bethlehem. Come on, somebody. Named Jesus, who came, the Lamb of God slain for us. We are great sinners. We deserve God's judgment, but Jesus came specifically to die for us. The very night he was born, the very moment he came out, they wrapped him and laid him and said, here he is, the Lamb of God, slain for the sins of the world. Aren't you grateful today for the shed blood of Jesus? Come on, somebody. His precious blood shed for us. And in this, we see, and really through all of the birth accounts, we see ultimately what Jesus wrapped himself with. And this is what we too, or obviously from the example of Christ, should wrap ourselves with this Christmas season, but also every season. First of all, Jesus was wrapped in humanity. Jesus was wrapped, first of all, in humanity. Fully God and fully man. How many of you know today Jesus went to the places nobody else wanted to go to? Come on now. Yeah, and he hung out with the people nobody else wanted to hang out with. He ministered to the ones that the religious leaders said were unclean or unfit to be in and around the temple. Religious leaders had that pejorative statement about Jesus, didn't they? What did they say? You always hang out with sinners and tax collectors. I mean, it was a running joke that they would say about Jesus that, yeah, he's always hanging out with the sinners. How many of you are grateful today Jesus hangs out with sinful people? Come on now. Yeah, he hangs out with sinners like us, regular old folks like us, doesn't he? And man, he gives us his grace and his peace and his strength. He is the one who saves those who are crushed in spirit. He is near to the brokenhearted, binds us up. Right? Comforts us, encourages us, saves us, rescues us, heals us. And that's what he did, didn't he? In his earthly ministry. He went city to city, healing the sick. Healing the sick, casting out demons, giving sight to the blind, making the lame to walk, and even raising some from the dead, didn't he? And he also went city to city, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and inviting anyone and everyone to a relationship with him, to God the Father through him, through his death and resurrection. And so too, church, listen, we are called to be clothed with humanity. In other words, in this context, the needs of others around us. Does God call us to meet needs? Come on, church. Man, this past week, it was such an encouragement to me to see all the money given. By the way, over $60,000 given to tornado relief. Now, about $35,000 of that, we had a couple of churches that partnered with us and said, we want to help you. Aren't you grateful for the body of Christ? Come on, somebody. So one church out of Louisville, another church out of Hendersonville, and church in Hendersonville, their area got destroyed by a tornado, a lot of it. But yet they said, we want to give to you as well. And so, but then church, you've given to this point over $25,000 to tornado relief. And so what a blessing. It's such a blessing to me just to see this past week, just dozens of you coming and serving our teenagers. Man, sent a huge group of our teenagers out. You saw on the video, they're clearing debris and doing all this work. Why do we do that? Because Jesus came, took on flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus came to save us and to give us what we need, that greatest need being salvation. And He's called us to do the same. He's called us to do the same. I think this past week about a single mother named Brandy that I got to pray with that came into our disaster relief center at Tylertown, and we loaded up her vehicle with food and supplies and all this stuff. Single mom, 10 kids. 10 kids, okay, and a combination of hers and her husband's, and not too long ago, her husband passed away. So now, raising all 10 of these kids by herself was already displaced because the cable company accidentally hit her sewer line a few months ago. Sewage coming back up into the house, so they were already displaced. Then tornado comes and the place where they're staying. She didn't have power. Thankfully, it didn't destroy the home. But for 4 to 5 days there, no power, food all ruined. You know, where are we going to wash clothes? Where are we going to take showers? How am I going to care for all these kids? And you were able to come alongside, love on her, help her, give her and her kids everything they need, or just about everything they need right now. And then I got to come alongside and pray with her and share the love of Jesus. So many of you got to pray with people and minister to people. And by the way, we're just getting started, right? Loving on this community. But church, listen to me. That is what we're called to do. That's who we're called to be. Right now, if Jesus were here, I think that's what He'd be doing, don't you? Is out loving on folks in this city, worshiping together with the body, then mobilizing out and going and meeting needs, and all along while meeting needs, sharing the gospel of the kingdom and inviting people to know Him in a personal and real way. This Christmas season, listen, are you all wrapped up in yourself, or are you wrapped in humanity, the needs of others? It's been said that the most useless gift there is a man all wrapped up with himself. You ever heard that before? A man or a woman all wrapped up with himself is the cheapest, most useless gift there is. In fact, it's no gift at all, is it? It's so humanity. God wants us to be wrapped with the needs of others. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. John there speaks directly to our salvation, by the way. Speaking of this meeting of needs. And he says, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him. Look at this. How does the love of God, how does God's love abide in such a person? A person who's unwilling to help others when they have need is empty on the inside, aren't they? Empty on the inside. When the love of God and the Holy Spirit of God lives in us, oh, we have this desire to help our fellow man. Secondly, Jesus was also wrapped not just in humanity, but also in humility, wasn't He? Philippians chapter 2, Sarah Grace read this morning, such a powerful passage. It says right before where she read, that the reason God exalted Jesus and gave Him the name above every name is because He emptied Himself, taking on humanity, taking on human flesh, and taking on the form of a bondservant. And He humbled Himself by becoming obedient even unto death, the death of a cross. Humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less, isn't it? And it actually takes courage to be humble. What it says is, listen, I'm going to do the right thing and walk in integrity no matter the cost or the consequence. That's really what humility is. Humility doesn't necessarily mean a person who is soft-spoken or always behind the scenes, although that can be a part of it. Humility is more about having the courage to stand for what's right and do what's right no matter what someone else says about me. Because it's not about, right? It's not about me. I'm not all wrapped up in myself. And so humility. God is calling us to humility. to say my entire life is not about my agenda or my expectations or my wants. It's all about what God has for me. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 says this, "Since therefore Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking." Come on, church. Arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, dying to self. "Whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God." Humility. We're called in the scripture, aren't we, to die to ourselves. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Present your bodies a living what? Sacrifice." That is our spiritual service of worship. What is worship? It's more than just gathering to sing songs and lift up Jesus. That's a part of it. But even more so, it's about a life dying to self. The Apostle Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain. And every single day, it's all about God and it's about others. Humility. Speaking of humility reminds me of a story I heard of Mother Teresa, where one time she was invited to this big banquet, and there were all kinds of dignitaries there, presidents and other royal officials, and they came in all dressed in their extravagant attire and jewels and crowns and all the stuff. And she came in her simple sari, you know, held by a safety pin that she always wore. But she got to talking to one of the dignitaries there, and the man started talking to her, and he was just intrigued by all of her work with the poorest of the poor in Calcutta. And he asked her, he said, "Wow, you know, how do you stay encouraged when you see so few successes in what you do?" And she paused for a moment and she said, "Sir, God has called me not to a ministry of success, but to a ministry of service." Service. What a great definition of what true success is, right? It is service. Jesus said, "The greatest among you will be your servant." Humility. Listen, today, a whole bunch of us, and this is a daily thing, isn't it? We need to die to self, don't we? Die to all that stuff that we're wrapped up in, all the expectations and the agendas and the opinions and the things. It's not everyone else's job to meet my demands. We're here to love and serve and bless others. But then lastly today, Jesus, he was wrapped in humanity, humility, and thirdly, he was wrapped in hospitality, wasn't he? The scripture tells us, Jesus said, "Whosoever will may come to me." Aren't you grateful today for the free gift, the free offer of the gift of eternal life? Aren't you grateful today that eternal life is a free gift? Jesus paid for it and now he offers it to us, and all we have to do is take it, rip off the paper, and apply it to life, man. Put it on and wear it. Submit to him as Lord and worship him as your king all of your days. Hospitality. Oh, humanity, humility, and hospitality. Let me ask you a question. What are you all wrapped up in? What are you all wrapped up in? Is it all about you, your job, and your life, and your desires, and your comfort? Religion, maybe it's religion for you. So many people try to wrap their life in religious ceremonialism and just going through the motions, but salvation doesn't come through religion either. It comes through being born again, submission to Christ and him living on the inside. Hey, today, some of you are here and everything on the outside looks real good, but the box is empty. Today, Jesus, he's a hospitable God, a welcoming God, a loving God. And he's saying, "Listen, give up that life, turn away from your sin and come to me." And children of God, listen, it's so easy to change out the wrapping paper, isn't it? Instead of being all about God and all about others, it's easy to get caught up in the ways and the thoughts and the lifestyle of this world and just go back to living for all the outside stuff. Oh, today, let's be wrapped up in Jesus, His will, His kingdom, what He wants for our life. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. So glad you could join us. If you've given your heart to Jesus, text HOPE JESUS, all one word, text HOPE JESUS to 77411. HOPE JESUS 77411. And let me encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. If you hadn't done that already, make sure to hit that subscribe button and share it out. You never know whose life might be changed by simply sharing this message today. So share it out. Okay? And so thank you again for listening in, and we invite you to listen in with us next week.